Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Hey dads, we've watched you in the rough seasons, walking your family through whatever came knocking at your front door. Sometimes they're just ordinary problems. But you aren't any ordinary dad. You've led us with a steady calm that was rooted in a lot of prayer. You gave all the time you had, and even the time you didn't. Dads, you stepped up, staying up late to finish work, being the helping hand everyone needed on days that sometimes felt endless. You wrestled with online school, tackled homework you sometimes didn't even understand. You made sure we stayed connected to those we love. Dads, you stepped up and listened when we couldn't handle the circumstances of life, and found extra patience somewhere in your back pocket, even when things boiled over. You led us through trying to understand what was happening in the world, while pointing us back to the Word of God as our source for hope and comfort. Dads, you stepped up and brought fun and laughter whenever you could. But you also showed us that it's okay to feel deep disappointment and loss. Dad, you faced every day with courage, even in the face of uncertainty, and spent more than one sleepless night without any good answers or assurances. But you always made sure we knew this one thing, that we are loved. We are loved by you and by God. Dad, we just wanted to say thank you. Thank you, Dad, for stepping up.
Wow, what a powerful little video. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, to all the father figures in our lives who've influenced us and impacted us and helped to shape our lives. We love you. We are for you today. We honor you today. You know, most dads that are worth their salt, they've got some kind of dream for their kids, some kind of dream. I mean, what dad would not want their kids to have the best in life, to have the best kinds of experiences, to get a good education, to become solid citizens? Most dads dream that for their kids, to meet that special person one day and to fall in love and to enjoy a family of their own. I mean, what dad wouldn't want his kids not only to pursue their dreams, but also to fulfill their dreams, and in turn to live a great life that leaves a great legacy behind? I mean, from the moment that I met my daughter Lucy, on the day that she was born, I can tell you, I had some big dreams for her. I wanted to be her hero and her protector and her provider. I wanted to be her man. This is a picture of Lucy and me several years ago. It was a fun moment that we remember. It was from a few years when Lucy and I went on a special daddy-daughter date. It's a special daddy-daughter date when you take your daughter to her first Taylor Swift concert, and possibly only Taylor Swift concert. Man, that was a special day. She got a special outfit, and it was just a rich, rich time. And I remember that daddy-daughter date so well. And, you know, as I just think about Lucy, I've just got big dreams for my daughter. And I want Lucy to know what it's like to be loved with unconditional love, to know how a man is supposed to treat her and to cherish her and to pursue her, to just honor her and love her as a lady needs to be loved and treated by a man. I love what Paul Harvey says about dads and the dreams that they have for their daughters. Paul Harvey says this, "Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so that they can have grandchildren who are smarter than everybody's and anybody else's." I love that. Yeah, dads have dreams for their daughters. And as a dad, I'm blessed to have a daughter and a son. Dads have dreams for their son. My dad had dreams for his son, me, and my dad's dad had dreams for him. This is a special picture right here that I just love. This is four generations of Rogers men when Jack was a newborn. I love that picture. It's a special picture because it just captures in that one moment in time four of our generations all together. My granddaddy Rogers, my dad, myself, my son Jack. And I can tell you, each dad in that picture has dreams for his son. Each one has dreams of his son growing up and what might happen, who would live a life that is just full, a life that's been lived well and serves well and loves well and leaves a mark on this world that was better than when that life started. Each of the dads in that picture want their son to be living a life that is known for honor and for class and for integrity and for dignity and for honesty, and one that actually and ultimately matters in the end because they were here. I'm telling you, all dads worth their salt have dreams for their kids. That's certainly true of our earthly dads. I mean, whether, as George mentioned, you've got a great relationship or had a great relationship with your dad, or whether not so great a relationship, I still believe in their heart of hearts of most dads that if given the choice for their kids to experience a great life with great dreams to be fulfilled, or to experience a life of unfulfilled and broken dreams, most dads are going to choose this one. Even if you don't know your dad at all, if given the choice, most dads would say, yeah, I'd want my kid to have some fulfilled dreams rather than broken dreams. Even if your dad on earth didn't do so great of a job in making your dreams come true, remember that beyond our earthly dads and whatever kind of dreams he has or didn't have for you, your heavenly Father certainly has dreams for all of his kids. And that includes you. I mean, even though no earthly dad it is perfect by any stretch of the imagination, especially the one preaching today, your heavenly Father is a perfect Father in every way. And your heavenly Father, I'm telling you, he has big dreams for you. He only wants the best for you. No matter where you are today, no matter what kind of nightmare you actually may be living in today or living through today. Maybe you're going, yeah, I'm not enjoying sweet dreams in my life right now. I'm kind of experiencing some nightmares. And maybe that nightmare is what's going on at work, or maybe that nightmare is what's going on at home, or maybe that nightmare is a relationship that's broken with your in-laws that's making you feel like an outlaw, or maybe that nightmare is a season that you're in with your kids right now and it's just, man, it's keeping you up at night. Or maybe there's an illness that you're having to deal with in your life or in your family, or maybe it's a legal nightmare that you're walking through and you're just going, am I ever going to wake up from this bad dream? Or maybe it's a nightmare that's just causing you to hemorrhage money out of your bank account. I mean, we all go through seasons or moments in our life that just feel like nightmares. Life is not always filled with sweet dreams. And nightmares can cause us to experience a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety and a lot of wonder about how's this dream going to unfold? How's it going to play out? How's it going to turn out? So whether you feel like you're living in a nightmare right now, or maybe you do feel like you're in a great spot right now and you're living your best life and you're living in a really good dream in a sense, or maybe you're just somewhere in the middle, kind of floating through life, just know this: your Father in heaven has big dreams for you. Your Father in heaven has big dreams for you. That's on the screen. Would you just take an out loud note with me on three? One, two, three. Your Father in heaven has big dreams for you. He really does. He knows you. He loves you. He knows the plans that he has for you. I'm telling you, he knows us. He knows what we need. And sometimes the dreams that he has for us are going to cause us to go down some crazy winding paths before we fully experience the bigness of those dreams that God has for us. Can I just confess something to you this morning? I forget that about God sometimes, that he has big dreams for me. One thing that I didn't tell you about my granddaddy Rogers when I was sharing that picture a moment ago is that for several years before he died, he suffered with Alzheimer's as his health declined. Anybody had to experience that with a family member going through Alzheimer's? It's a nightmare, is it not? It's a recurring nightmare. It's terrible. And my granddaddy experienced that as his health declined. He couldn't remember things anymore. And as his health declined, his body faced so many different injections that his body just became immune to antibiotics. Has anybody had that experience before? That's not a good thing either when you've had so many medications that your body just doesn't respond to those medications anymore. They just didn't work anymore. But because his body had just built up an immunity against the things that were actually trying to be used to help him fight off infections. And sometimes, I think that we, those who claim to be followers of Jesus, I think that we walk around with a kind of spiritual Alzheimer's. And we tend to forget that we really do have a Father in heaven who loves us, who wants the best for us, who really does know what we need. A Heavenly Father that we can totally trust with all of who we are, all of the circumstances in our lives, including those dreams. And we forget that our Father in heaven has big dreams for us. He really does. He really does. And sometimes I think we kind of walk through life with an immunity to the truth that is found in some of the great stories of the Bible. And they no longer affect us like they should affect us. Especially when it comes to those dreams that we have for our lives. We tend to fail to remember and realize at times that God's dreams for our lives are even way bigger than anything that you and I could dream up on our own. And I'll just tell you, that's what God's been showing me lately as I've just been trying to walk through life in this season and trying my best to follow him and to honor my Father in heaven. And for the life of our church, I think sometimes we forget this. Let me just kind of pull the veil back a little bit and invite you into where God has been having me walk and remember some things lately. He's been trying to pull me out of my own spiritual Alzheimer's, and he's been inviting me to be reaffected by the truth of who he really is as my Heavenly Father. And he's been doing that through one of the great father-son stories that's found in the Bible. I want to tell you the story this morning of a dad who had big dreams for his son, his kid. The story of Abraham and Isaac. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me over to the front part of your Bible in Genesis chapter 22. We're going to take a break for a few weeks in our series through 1 John, and we'll come back to it in mid-July, Lord willing. But this morning, I want us to look at this story in Genesis 22. I want to show you what God's been showing me about trusting Him and trusting that our Father in heaven, my Father in heaven, has big dreams for me, big dreams for you, big dreams for his kids. And as you're finding Genesis 22, some of you, when I mention the story of Abraham and Isaac, you may have no idea what's about to unfold in this story. If that's where you're sitting this morning, that's okay. Don't worry about it. We're gonna get you up to speed. We'll read the story together, and we'll make sure you've got the backstory too on what's going on in this father-son relationship that's so important that we need to remember today. I mean, I can tell you this, some of you are like me, and when you hear the names of Abraham and Isaac, you kind of already know where this story's going. You kind of know what's going to happen here in a few minutes. Maybe you've seen this story, you've read this story, you've even maybe taught this story before. And if that's you, warning, caution. God wants you and me to be aware of something that we may, even in these moments, be slipping back into our spiritual Alzheimer's and just kind of fogging over or glazing over, forgetting who God really is in this story. May we not become spiritually immune to what God is trying to say to us this morning, because we've been injected with this truth so many times that we just don't respond to it anymore. Don't let that be you. Whisper a prayer to the Father right now. Father, would you speak to me in a fresh way? I believe He will. And if we'll approach this story through that lens of Scripture, I believe God will say some things to you about the dreams that He has for you in a fresh way today. Let's get into our story. We're going to read Genesis 22 verses 1 through 18 this morning. It begins in verse 1, Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from afar. And then Abraham said to his young men, you stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and he took the knife. So they went, both of them together, and Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. Abraham said, here I am, my son. And Isaac said, that's my translation. behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and then he bound his son Isaac. And he laid Isaac on the altar on top of the wood, and then Abraham reached out his hand and he took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. He said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram and he offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow. I mean, what a story. God asks Abraham, trust me. Trust me. Trust me with this promise. Trust me with the dream of your only son, Isaac. And take him and be willing to lay him on the altar and sacrifice him, and all of those dreams, Abraham, that you have for your son, and just trust me and see what I will do. And you know what? Abraham did it, and God provided, and isn't God good? Yay, God. I'll try to remember that. You want me to lay down my dreams because you've got bigger dreams for me. Got it. And God just begins to go, David, don't let your spiritual Alzheimer's cause you to forget. And begin to rob you of the magnitude of what just happened in Genesis 22. Because this isn't just some story about a character thousands of years ago, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. This is a real dad with a real son, his only son. David, it would be like me telling you, just as Jack and Lou are headed into the youth group, take them and lay them out. I mean, all of a sudden, we're talking about my kid. You want me to do what? See, when you put yourself into the story, we remember things in a different kind of a way, don't we? All of a sudden, the tears start welling up and we're like, what? You want me to do what? You want me to do what? In fact, do something with me here for a second. Go back. Reread those first three verses. Those first three words from Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things. Now, if we're going to stay curious as we read Scripture, what's a great question that we should ask right here? After what things? After what things? See, we need to take a step back here and kind of remember the backstory of what's going on here. Because if you're like me, you approach this story, if you've heard it a million times, it's like, oh yeah, watch this. This is going to be great. Watch God provide this ram. This is going to be great. After these things, let me just give you a little backstory here. After what things? After you go back to Genesis chapter 11, which is titled the Tower of Babel. What happened there? Well, God then brought a man named Abram out of an idol-infested land named Ur and into a land named Canaan. And God promised a 75-year-old Abram who was childless, and God was going to lead him to a new land and make him the father of many nations. Did I mention he was 75? So he still never held his first child at this point. And we follow Abram's story as we move forward through Genesis chapter 12 toward Genesis 22. And after these things, what things? Well, after God fulfilled the promise to Abraham and to his wife Sarah, and they became pregnant 25 years later, and Abraham becomes a dad, first-time dad at the age of 100. It sounds like a comedy, not history. After living a laughable life from 75 to 99, saying, God's promised me. Their peers, Abraham and Sarah's peers, their life group would have just laughed at them. God gave you what dream? What promise? And now, 25 years later, that dream's come true, and he's experiencing his first Father's Day at 100. Abraham is a dad. His one and only son, Isaac. Now fast forward a decade plus, and Isaac is getting ready to go into the youth group. He's getting ready to go to camp. And God goes, we're going on a mission trip. It's a different kind of a camp, a different kind of trip. I want you to take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him on the altar that I'm going to show you, on the mountain that I'm going to show you. I mean, look again at verses 1 through 3 with that backstory. After these things, that 25-year-plus history, after these things, God tested Abraham as if he hadn't already been tested. He gets a retest. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and he saddled his donkey and he took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. Golly, I just forget sometimes. That's not there just so I can read about somebody else's life and go, wow, what great faith and trust. That's there so that I'll follow suit and trust God in the same kind of way today. And trust God with my most precious dreams. That my Heavenly Father has. And that I think I have. And to not to just keep taking the reins of my life. And taking the dreams of my life. But instead, just like Abraham, to choose to lay all those down on the altar. To lay my life, to lay my dreams down, just like Abraham did. And be willing to let God have His way, not only with my life, but with the dreams of my life that include other people who are so precious to me. I'm telling you, friends, God has some big dreams for our lives if we will trust Him with those dreams. And they are bigger dreams than our earthly dads might even dream up for us. And whatever your dream for your life might look like, whether it's that dream of who you ultimately will become, or that dream of where you think you ultimately want to live, or whether it's that dream of who you ultimately are going to end up with, or whether it's that dream of that perfect relationship that you're on the lookout for, or it's the dream of that great job, that perfect job, or that dream of whatever, that incredible legacy with family and friends all around you may be. The dreams of our Heavenly Father and the dreams that He has for His kids are way bigger. They are way more consequential than anything that you or I could dream up for ourselves. And friends, listen to me. If you believe that your Heavenly Father really does know you, and if you really believe that your Heavenly Father really has created you with a plan and with a purpose, and if you believe that your Heavenly Father really does know every need you have before you ever even ask Him for it, and if you really do believe that your Heavenly Father has your best interest at heart, and if you really do believe that your Heavenly Father can be totally trusted with all your dreams, all your hopes, all of your life, if you really believe that, then the question that I believe God has for us today is this: are you willing to lay down your dreams for your life and to trust God with the big dreams that He has for your life? That's a massive question. I'll just leave that on the screen for a moment. Would you take out a phone and just take a picture of that? That is a huge, huge question on this Father's Day. And I invite you to sit with that this week, each day this week. Are you willing to lay down your dreams for your life and to trust God with the big dreams that He has for your life?
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.